following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, Refuge family. Monday. It's Monday. Good to be with you. Fireside chat. And just wanted to remind you of a couple things real quickly before I turn it over to Jonathan for today's chat. First off is if you are in need of food as part of our Refuge family, please don't forget that that's still going strong. Our food distribution, just was watching the team here moments ago, setting up and sorting through just great produce and foodstuffs. And that's for you, still available on Mondays for Refuge family and 11 o'clock. So just want to make sure that you avail yourself of what the Lord has provided for you. And in addition to that, he has provided a great venue for Wednesday night's resonance events as we're out in the front parking lot. A tremendous time last week, it really was. A couple hundred of you were out there. Easy to do social distancing out in the fresh air, the taco truck, the coffee kiosk. Great music and good worship, good message, and the family of God, and being a light as we're out there, right there, close to Edinger. So this Wednesday, no need to RSVP. Try to get there as soon as you can. We start off at 6:30, but we're ready with the taco truck and coffee kiosk by 5:45. So hopefully I'll see you there this Wednesday evening. But right now, you see us, and I see Jonathan, and his Bible is open. So take it away, my brother.
All right. Well, thank you very much. All right, guys. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 9 today, the message that I really felt strong from the Lord to share with you guys. was this message here from Daniel. So let me pray, and we'll jump in. Lord, as we are heading into yet another week, and this week where we celebrate the independence that we have in our country, the freedoms and the liberties that we have, Lord, help us to be able to focus on you during this time, and thank you for the truly the material blessings and the heritage that we do have as Americans. We thank you for that. So be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I wanted to share with you guys this prayer that Daniel makes for the nation of Israel, found in Daniel chapter 9, and kind of share a little bit about how I think that we need to be looking at this prayer in our own lives for our country, and especially as we are in this time where we are looking back to the beginnings of our nation and where we have come from and the heritage that we have and where we are as a people today. And I shared on Saturday night how I feel like over the the last 50, 60 years, we've seen progressively culture seem to be in a tailspin spiral downward. And so how do we respond? How do we respond to that? Well, I think we look at Daniel and what Daniel does here in this prayer and use this as a model of how we should be dealing with when we look around and we see our culture and we see the higher depression rates and we see the insanity that's happening in our nation, both with the pandemic and violence that's happening, and not just that, but just even how we're seeing the love of many growing cold, as it describes the end times in the Bible. We look and we're like, that's us right now. So let's look at Daniel's prayer. And it starts in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. And this is his prayer. Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Let me just take a moment here and think about this. When we read the book of Daniel, Daniel's one of the few characters that you see in the scripture where you don't see their faults and sins laid out. I love that the Bible's very open about this, right? You have David, who's supposed to be one of the greatest men of scripture and a forerunner of Christ, and you see his sins and faults as well as his successes. And you see men like Moses, who I'm studying through the life of Moses right now, and you see his failures as well as his successes as well in leadership. But Daniel's one of those few guys that you don't see anything wrong. He's carried away into captivity, but he's carried away as a young teenager, taken there. It wasn't because of his sins. It was because of the sins of the nation. And he's there, and he's continually proven himself to be faithful to the Lord. But look what he says. He says, "We have sinned. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands. We have not listened to your servants, the things that you've taught to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors." When he confesses and he prays for his nation, he prays and confesses and he identifies with his people. He identifies with the people who are hurting. And if you go on in this prayer, he uses we, us, or our 42 times. And only one other time does he mention the nation of Israel. But even then, it's in the context of you have been faithful to the nation of Israel, yet we have done this. So it's like he doesn't blame everybody else for the sins. He doesn't say, oh, it was those wicked leaders that we had. He doesn't say, if only the elite did this, or if only the business people did this, if only this group did this. He says, we have done this wickedness. We have sinned. In verse 7, he goes on and says, "Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you've scattered us, because of our unfaithfulness to you." When we pray for our nation, and I pray that you guys are praying for the nation, especially as we're going into the 4th of July, let this be a time where we look. I mean, normally on the 4th we celebrate, right? We blow things up and celebrate when our forefathers blew things up that belonged to the British and now that they're American, right? We do this. This is how we celebrate. But I pray that this year would be a year, especially with everything that we have faced. I mean, 2020 has been an interesting year. I heard somebody once, I recently heard somebody say, what was the stupidest purchase you've ever made? And the response was a 2020 planner. Because all of our plans are right out the window, right? In light of all the craziness that we've have going on in our world, and the wickedness that we're seeing, that we're dealing with, and the constant fighting back and forth between everybody on social media. Maybe this year is the year that we take the time to pray and ask God to restore us. That we take the time to pray that God would be the one that would be glorified in our nation. But when we pray, make sure we pray like Daniel here. And there's other examples of this as well. Moses himself in Exodus chapter 34, right after the golden calf incident, right? He's up on the mountain. He's been fasting and praying and spending time with the Lord for 40 days, getting these the covenant of God. And he comes down and the people are partying crazy. They've got a golden calf. They've broken pretty much every one of the 10 commandments that they just heard God boom from the top of the mountain just a few days before, right? He goes down, smashes the tablets, burns the idol to the ground, grinds it in powder, tells everybody, look at what you've done. But then he goes to the Lord and says, Lord, forgive us for our sins and take us as your people into the promised land. And we see also, even after Daniel, we see Ezra do the same thing. When he's back in the land in Ezra chapter 9, you see him cry out. And when he reads the law and he sees what the people have done, he hasn't done anything. Just as Moses hadn't done anything at that point in the golden calf. And Daniel hasn't done anything here. But all three of them as leaders, as people who were praying for their people, said, we have done this. So as we pray for our nation, let us pray like that. Lord, we We need your help. May you be glorified. You are righteous, Lord. We are not. And it's not a matter of saying, let's pray and say, okay, Lord, we pray against pray against the godless Democrats or the godless Republicans or whoever you're against. No, let's pray for us as a nation that God would bring restoration, that God would bring peace, that God would bring a knowledge of his glory and righteousness and holiness back to this land, to this culture, to these people. Skipping down in Daniel's prayer to verse 17, it says, "Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." Let's pray like that. Lord, we're not coming because we're the righteous ones who've got it figured out and we need the wicked to get it all their acts together. We're coming as sinners, just as much as everyone else, in need of your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. And heal our land. Heal our nation. Restore us into that place of where we once were. I love this. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. So let's close with the word of prayer right now. And I pray that this would be a prayer that we would all be able to agree with and that we would all continue to pray throughout this week. Lord, as a nation, as Americans, we have sinned against you. Throughout our history, we've done things that has violated the commands that you have given to your people. And unfortunately, often we've done it in the name of Christ. And so we pray for your forgiveness. And I pray that your hand would be upon this nation, that you would be glorified in whatever happens, Lord, however this nation is dealt with. I pray, Lord, that we would see a revival breakout and that we all would come to a deeper knowledge of who you are, a deeper understanding of your glory and righteousness and holiness and goodness and justness and mercy and grace and peace. Forgive us our sins. We pray for you to come and heal our land, to heal our country. Lord, listen to our cry. Lord, forgive us our sins. Hear and act and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. This last week of our Fireside Chats, we're going to be starting a new thing we're calling Refuge Daily. We're going to be continuing the same time in pretty much the same format that we have here with daily words of encouragement and hope for you guys. So continue to tune in. We're excited to continue to be here with you guys every day. Thank you and God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.